Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another installment of the Wise Women Media Radio Show. And we've gone kind of cat crazy here. Last week we had a great show with Dr. Mango and Lisa helping out on the chat room. And this week we have Karen from, many of you know her from Sacred Grounds, and Cassandra, who are going to fill us in all about what's happening with their cat rescue effort here in Tampa Bay. Wise Women Media is independently funded from the listeners, so you can see us online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And if you feel so inclined to help us stay on the air every week, hit us up at the GoFundMe link on that page. And also I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Daughters of Isis, Florida Nature Photos, Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio, who gives us our hour and a half every week, Power New Media and Public Relations, Roundtree 7, Tarot and Stars, and the Hoodooed blog. So again, check us out at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. Oh, I can't leave out the Common Projects Network, which is a collective of independent journalists that are working together. And Here Be Monsters is part of that. So more info to come on that as well. I want to introduce our guests, Karen Lohman and Cassandra Frey. Are you both on the line with me right now?
Yes,
I am.
I'm here.
Oh, good, good, good. Okay, so I wanted to let everybody know that through Sacred Grounds, actually, Karen's been doing a lot of rescue work, and Cassandra is just one of the people that's actually working with you to do that. And give me a little rundown, first Karen and then Cassandra, on how you got started doing this, and how did you determine that there was a huge need for this?
Well, first of all, Anita, thanks for letting us come on the show. And I think it's more like I'm helping a bunch of other folks that have been doing a lot more work than I feel like than I am, but I'm just doing my part. And that's how it all comes together, is when we all do our part. I first came to get in to rescue. I mean, I've been always rescuing cats and animals on my own, just when they come up, you know, out of whatever. But when one of my cats was taken from in front of my house, which brought me to looking into, you know, every few days looking at Hillsborough County Animal Services to see if he might have been turned in. And I got informed quickly just about how, you know, what animal services is all about, and I wanted to help more cats specifically because I was on the cat side. I did go through the dog side, but I've been more of a cat person than a dog person. I wanted to help more cats get out of there and find happy homes. So that's how I started in with helping cats. And it's been a bit of a bumpy ride, and I've gotten to see how things are done, and there are a lot of us that don't particularly like how things are done, and we're trying to highlight the good parts, and we want to change the not-so-good parts so that these little fur babies, in a sense, of get the best opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I got started, and that's how I met Cassandra, as well as some other folks that are actually listening in tonight. There are great opportunities at Hillsborough County Animal Services, but there are also some great tragedies that are happening. There is only people need to know a couple of things, and we can start somewhere because we have to start somewhere anyway. If you're an owner of animals and you bring in your animals, first of all, please, if you have any animals, don't surrender your animals to Hillsborough County Animal Services, because they are not guaranteed any time. They're not guaranteed an opportunity to find new homes. In fact, the highest percentage of cats that are brought in that sort of sense is actually put down with 0 days exposure. And you're better off to actually turn them in as strays almost, because then they're at least guaranteed 5 days unless they're really, really sick. So, and that gives them 5 days to possibly find a new home or get picked up by a rescue.
I didn't realize there were so many loopholes and laws and regulations in, you know, doing the rescue or even through the facilities, not just independent people working on this issue.
Hillsborough County is a high kill shelter. It's a 70-75% high kill shelter. Go ahead, Cassandra.
I was going to say, if I could interject, you know, a lot of people are unaware that Hillsborough County is even a kill shelter for starters. And, you know, I mean, I get people telling me all the time how, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that, you know, they're killing the animals there. I thought, you know, I could take them there and they would get them adopted and, you know, maybe fix them up a little bit and, you know, whatever. And it's truly amazing to me that in this day and age, so many people are that unaware of, you know, the fact that there are 70-75% of the cats that go in the door and never come out alive. And, you know, like Karen was saying, there are many rules and regulations that have only recently especially been put into place that are making it even more difficult for the cats to come out alive.
And specifically,
so Cassandra, how did you get started in doing the rescue work? What was the catalyst that got you going?
Well, you know, I've kind of, like Karen, I've kind of done it all my life. My dad was always bringing home strays from, you know, he was a truck driver, so he'd find strays all over the country and bring them home with him. We'd, you know, get them straightened out and find them another home usually. But, you know, I've always fed the strays, you know, and tried to make sure that they were taken care of and healthy. And about March of this year, I came across a page on Facebook called UrgentCats.com and was quickly sucked into this whole thing, you know, being getting involved in the actual rescue end of it, as far as, you know, being involved with the 501c3s and learning about how the animals are pulled by rescues from the shelter and even learning about the rescues. I mean, I knew some were out there, but I really didn't have a clear understanding of what their purpose was or, you know, any of that. So I've learned a lot over the past few months, and you know, I haven't liked a lot of what I've learned, and I'm working very hard to with a lot of other people to try to get those things changed. But it's, you know, a long and drawn out process. And in the course of that process, we are losing many, many animals that we don't need to.
What do you think are the, is the relation to people having some really very difficult economic hard times and the fact that they feel the need to surrender their animal so their animal will get a better home? In their way of thinking, that solves the problem if they can't buy cat food or dog food for their pet. What's your take on that?
Well, Karen, go ahead. I'll let you.
Hang on for one second. The thing is that if you are in a dire situation as far as that goes, then see if you can reach out to a rescue first and see if they may be able to help. You can reach out to neighbors, your church, if you're a religious person, and see if they can help you keep your animals, because it's more than just, you know, cat food and cat litter. It's about unconditional love. These animals actually do serve a huge purpose in our lives, and they are beings in fursuits just like we're beings in human suits. So, and then if we, it would be great if animal services, it's one of the things that we'd really like to see, if it, animal services would actually be a service to the animals for the community, in that it would give them an opportunity to be there for 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, for someone to find the right match. Or if we had people that were able to come together and find a right match for a type of person that was looking for a specific cat. But what's happening is strays, which are the luckiest cats of all, again, not even the owner surrenders, get 5 days. And if that cat's not adopted out by someone in the community, or a rescue has not pulled that cat for fostering to try and find it at home at a little bit later date, that cat is euthanized. Now, that cat can be the friendliest cat in the world. In fact, there's one that's put down tonight, as far as I know, named Cheesecake. One-year-old little black cat, possibly pregnant in the early stages, reached out through the cage. But the way they have the rules set up right now is if you're a rescue, you have to put your request in, which can be denied, at 6 o'clock p.m. And if you're a person that wants to come down and adopt, then you have to be down there by 6:45. It used to be that it was at 6 a.m. that you could put in for a hold on that cat in order to still come in and get that cat. And that's how it still is for dogs, but the cats have now changed, so they have a 12-hour receding deadline as far as that goes. And just to clarify what Cassandra said earlier, it's actually Urgent Cats of Tampa Bay, which is on Facebook, and those people have done some amazing work in being able to get the cats that are left in a 24 to 48 hour period that are left that are not adopted out, so that people can try to become aware of what cats are actually getting ready to be killed, and in a lot of cases for space, and in some cases not even for space, because there are cages that are up front that are in the now can go section that are empty.
Wow.
Cassandra,
Yeah, and you know, to answer your question, your earlier question about the owner surrenders, Anita, you know, there is no simple, easy answer, but, you know, there are alternatives out there, and, you know, the message that we want to get out to people is not only that, you know, if you take your animal to Hillsborough County Animal Services or any of the county animal control facilities, you know, there's a 99% chance your animal will not make it out of there, cat or dog. I mean, even the dogs at Hillsborough County, they have almost a 50% kill rate too. You know, I mean, it's not just the cats, but I mean, the cats are, you know, there is a great disparity in the numbers of cats that make it out and the numbers of dogs that make it out. And part of what Karen was saying is the reason for that is because, you know, the dogs have longer periods where people can, you know, place holds and such that will allow the dog to have a few more hours so that somebody can get there to get it, you know, and what we're finding, again, this is just recently, you know, Urgent Cats of Tampa Bay used to have the ability to send an after-hours hold, and I believe it was in either late May or June that ability was taken away, and then late June, July, somewhere in there, the after-hours holds for rescues just for cats was also canceled. And, you know, so, and one thing, you know, with owner surrenders is, you know, I myself have called and spoken to the rescues, and one of the first things you're told by a rescue is, well, I'm sorry, we're full. And they're all very full, and we, you know, we all know this. In the cat world, I'm sure that, you know, most people that haven't even heard of what a rescue is or what it's about wouldn't necessarily know this, but, you know, a big problem that we're having right now is we have a bottleneck with our fosters. We don't have enough people that are willing to foster these cats and dogs, you know, for the rescues that will allow the rescue time to find them adopters. So the rescues right now are saying, okay, well, we're full. We can't do anything either. And, you know, there's also the issue of grant monies have dried up and donations have dried up. And, you know, there's this huge circle of problems that we're combating on a daily basis. And somehow we managed to get a lot of the cats out of there, you know, that are on their last days. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes one will slip by or it'll come off hold at the last minute. So, you know, but back to your original question, I'm sorry, I'm being confusing. you know, with owner surrenders, you know, if it's a matter of, okay, well, I've lost my job, but I've got a little bit of money and just can't afford cat food and dog food, if you reach out to some of the rescues, they will help you, you know, with cat food or dog food or, you know, cat litter or, you know, if you've got a severely injured animal, like, you know, maybe your cat fell off the refrigerator, because I've got a couple that like to get up on top of the refrigerator. Don't ask me why. I guess because it's warm. But, you know, they fell off the refrigerator, broke their leg, and, you know, most of us are struggling financially. I mean, God knows anyone who's fostering an animal is really struggling at this point because, you know, it is costly. And, you know, some of the rescues, when they pull, they don't give you the backing, you know, the financial backing. They'll say, okay, well, we'll pull, but you're on your own as far as, you know, food, litter, you know, dog treats, whatever the case may be, and that includes veterinary care. And, you know, well, some of us will accept that responsibility because we just want to get the cats out and get them healthy and alive and whatever so that they can go on and find homes. So, you know, but there are rescues out there that are helping people, you know, the general community, but you have to ask. You know, they don't know that you need help if you don't ask. And, you know, one of the main problems that we see people listing as their reason to surrender is that they're moving. And they and you know, we always ask, well, where are you moving to that you can't have this animal that you've, you know, called your pet for the last 20 years? You know, it confuses us and we don't understand. So, you know, it's hard for us to speak on that particular part of it. But, you know, there are alternatives. You just have to seek them out. And sometimes it takes a lot of work to find an alternative. But if you really love your animal, that's something you have to do. You cannot take them to these kill shelters.
One of the things, I know I experienced that myself with several moves in regards to my cat and my dog. one of the things that's especially difficult if you're renting is they have this classification for dogs now, which is, it has to do with their breed. And if it's a breed that tends to get the bad rap in the media, such as pit bull or German shepherd or whatever, they call it an aggressive breed, and they won't let you move into an apartment, they won't sign a lease, et cetera. Now, I know that many, many places, not necessarily apartment complexes, because most apartment complexes allow cats, but the big issue is if you're a multiple cat household, they have, the apartment complexes also have an issue with that. So,
yeah, they have limits on how many animals you can have and weight limits and such.
And then
you have to pay
a non-refundable pet deposit for each pet. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you have two or three animals, that's close to $1,000. And mm-hmm. some people, at this point in time, people can't afford much of anything. And $1,000 on top of your first and last month's rent and your deposit is almost impossible to put together that amount of money for most people that are living here in Florida and very lucky if we're making above minimum wage. So
mm-hmm.
that's the big situation. That was the big situation for me, I know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm a renter. And mm-hmm. when I first moved into my last home, I only had two cats, and then I acquired a dog, and then I acquired two more cats through the course of the 10 years I lived there. And, you know, my landlord, I was very communicative with my landlord about it, and, you know, he understood, and he was an animal lover, too. And, you know, the only advice that I can give, you know, when I moved, I ended up moving with four cats and a dog. And, you know, yeah, it took a little work for me to find somebody, but there are plenty of animal lovers out there that will work with you and that, you know, will allow you to bring all your animals with you. And if you find yourself in a position that you can't do that for whatever reason, maybe, you know, time constraints or whatever the case may be, then, you know, that's when, and you really usually will know this at least a little bit ahead of time so that you can make arrangements for your animals that don't involve them going to a kill shelter.
Right.
There was a
short time when I had to give my cat away, but it ended up that we did get her back. And the place where we were living did allow us, you know, made some special allowances for us, and we were able to keep her. So we still have her. And, of course, now that she's a senior, there's no way I would ever get rid of her now. But this is a big issue for people that are renting. And for people that have homes, I can only encourage you to open up your homes to one or two of these animals. You know, this has everything to do with compassion. And if you're an animal lover, I'm looking at these numbers, and I wasn't really understanding them. They were numbers that Karen sent over, and I want to make sure we talk about this on the show. That's why I want to bring it up now. But I was sent a list of several different cats. They're designated by number, not several, but many. It designates whether they were adopted, the date they were adopted, how many days they were held. And then you go down, and it's like an even, well, let me get down to the bottom of the numbers, and it says a total of 357. So there was 125 adopted out. Two died while they were incarcerated. I mean, that's the only word I can think of for that.
That's an appropriate word.
Yeah.
That is a very important
word. RTO.
Return to owner.
Oh, okay. So there was six returned to owner, and then out of that 357, 224 were killed. So that was 62.75% of all the cats in the shelter. That is a huge, huge percentage. That's more than half are being killed.
And that's actually a low number. for June and July alone, it was over 70%.
Wow. Okay, and then I was also another document called Truly Be the Way Home, and this is some of the inner workings of these kill shelters and exactly what they do in them. And Cassandra, can you fill me in a little bit more about what's happening, I mean, about this document and the different things that are going on in the kill shelters?
Yes, ma'am. This was a paper that I wrote last month to present, to attempt to present at the Animal Advisory Committee meeting that took place on August 26th, I believe it was. The Board of County Commissioners oversees the Hillsborough County Animal Services, and they have an Animal Advisory Committee as well, and they all meet, you know, a couple times a month. Animal Advisory Committee meets once a month, I believe. In fact, we have a BOCC meeting coming up on the 18th, which I'm going to make every effort to attend and hopefully get this document over to them as well, because there are so many different problems that are taking place and making it even more difficult to get these animals, not just the cat, but, you know, mostly the cat, out of the facility into homes. And, you know, I came up with about 16 suggestions, 15 or 16 suggestions of ways that, you know, operations could be improved and rules could be, you know, revised to allow for being the way home. Director Ian Hallett of Hillsborough County wrote a program months ago, or maybe a year ago. I don't even know when he actually wrote it, but he wrote a plan called Be the Way Home. And, you know, everything that has gone on that I've seen from a rescue standpoint, at least, has been contradictory to being the way home. You know, for example, canceling the after-hours holds for the cats and, you know, canceling the they used to have a program called Adopt to Rehome, where anyone could go out down to the shelter and, you know, sign up and take home a cat or two to adopt it. You know, adopt it and then find it a home on their own. And that not only frees up shelter space, but it gets the cat out of the shelter and keeps it from hopefully not getting sick, because, you know, another unknown fact to many people is the longer an animal sits in the shelter, the more susceptible it is to diseases that are coming in, you know, or that are potentially coming in from various owner surrenders and strays and, you know, whatever. So, and that's a problem that we're battling right now, is because we can't get them out fast enough for whatever reason, they're getting sick. So, you know, I wrote I wrote this paper, you know, in an effort to, you know, give the facility and all the people, you know, the powers that be, some ideas of things that me as a lay person, and not actually working at the shelter, you know, I don't work there, so I don't see what goes on a daily basis. But, you know, just some common sense things that, to me, if these things were implemented, would make it so that, you know, not only the citizens could go down and be of more help and wouldn't necessarily have to foster through a rescue or, you know, any of that, they could actually be involved on their own. And, you know, the shelter would be able to monitor how many cats or dogs or cats and dogs, you know, one person has. And, you know, because we saw a knee-jerk reaction to a hoarding situation that really didn't have anything to do with the shelter itself. But I don't know if you heard, there was a couple of hoarding situations from just individuals a few months ago, and that was part of the reason for the Adopt a Rehome being canceled. And they used to allow the very young kittens that come in that aren't old enough to be adopted, they were allowed to be fostered until they were old enough to be, you know, spayed or neutered and have their shots and everything else, and be allowed to be adopted at that point. And they canceled that program as well. So, you know, we've really hit this bottleneck with, you know, the rescues are being full, and then they don't have enough fosters, and they don't have the funds to support the animals, you know, in some cases. So it's it's just this big vicious circle that we're fighting. And I really think that if we could get at least some of my ideas implemented at the shelter, we might see a lower kill rate in just 1 month's time. You know, one of the things that I mentioned was to put nebulizers in each of the indoor cat rooms to help, you know, keep the cats clear and, you know, keep them, hopefully keep them from getting upper respiratory infections, which is very common, you know, in the shelter. And, you know, just some additional cleaning protocols and, you know, stuff like that. And URIs are very treatable with simple antibiotics. And, you know, again, if you can get the cat or the dog out of the shelter quicker, i.e. implementing some of the adopt-a-rehome programs and things that will just let, you know, Joe or Sally walk in and do, that'll help alleviate a lot of the problems, you know. And during the summer, we saw space become an issue because there were just, my God, cats coming in left and right. And part of that, I believe, was because back in May, there was a program approved to trap, neuter, and return feral cats. Only that program hasn't actually gone into play yet. And, you know, we don't honestly know when it's going to happen. But, you know, in the meantime, as far as I know, if you bring a feral cat there, they don't trap, neuter, return it, if you follow me.
Right.
So, there's people that have brought in strays that they thought they could just get fixed and then either get adopted out or return back to the area, and they've just been, you know, the rescues have been doing all they can do. Rescues, we need fosters. We need people that are take a cat or two into their home for a couple of months until we can work through and find them good homes and stuff. And one of the other things is just like Cassandra was saying is you'll have healthy cats, even strays that are in really good health. And you got to remember that some of these strays are actually people's pets that might have gotten out. Okay,
or
so,
that a nice neighbor, you know, concerned neighbor brought in thinking the owner will come and claim it.
Right.
Right.
And it may take the owner 5 days to go, okay, I haven't seen the cat. I've waited for a few days. I'm going to start putting up posters maybe on, like, let's say an owner waits three or four days. And then they're like, okay, I haven't seen the cat. Then I'm going to start putting out flyers, okay? And then you put out flyers, and you wait a couple more days. And then you wait till 7 or 8, 9 days until after the cat's gone and go look at the shelter. That cat could have already been put down, because if somebody were to bring that cat in the first day that it goes missing, if it's lucky, it's supposed to get 5 days. And in those 5 days, you're supposed to scan that animal for a chip and try to contact the owner. Well, I've had a situation where they reached out and sent a thing out to the supposed owner, but the name of the cat that they put on there is the name of the cat that was sitting right in front of the homeowner, so it wasn't their cat. But we knew that it was somebody's pet, so we pulled it, and there's extra notes that are in the system, and I was actually able to go knock on the person's door and say, is this your cat? No, but it looks like my neighbor's cat next door. And the lady was just bawling, and I said, you almost lost your cat. And if no one else interceded, then they would have, because no public person came for it. Nobody wanted to adopt the cat. And it's, you know, a lot of times, too, it's like the black cats are the ones that get adopted the least. The tabbies are the second one, because they're all known as common cats. And it's like that. Yeah, this one cat meant the world to this family. So a lot of the strays that are coming in are pets, but they're not knowing because they're not being held for very long.
Not only that,
right.
You know, most people don't microchip the strays in their neighborhood, and you know, a lot of people, I have, you know, none of my babies are microchipped either at this point, which I'm working on fixing, but you know, mine are strictly indoor. But if you have an indoor-outdoor cat, my God, please get it chipped, because, you know, that could save your cat's life. And, You know, unfortunately, Hillsborough County only sends a card. They don't actually call, as far as I know. I know some of the volunteers, if they can get a phone number for an owner off of a microchip or whatever, they will call. But, you know, the facility itself, they only send a card, to my knowledge. They don't actually pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, we have your cat. And, you know, I had a very good story a few months ago. Fortunately, we found this lady. She wasn't still the owner of the cats, but they ended up at the facility. She hadn't seen or heard anything about them in 3 years, and all of a sudden she gets this postcard in the mail that says, we have your cats. And she was down in Miami at this point and couldn't make it up here. So, you know, we got some people involved and managed to get a hold of her, and you know, she ended up coming and getting them right on their very last day. And, you know, thank God she did, and she took them home with her. And as far as I know, she still has them, and she, you know, she was really happy to have them back. And she thanked me profusely for calling her because she didn't know what to do, you know. And, I mean, that's the thing, you know, that we do in our little network of people is, you know, we'll make every effort to do whatever we can to save these cats and to get them back with their rightful owners, if at all possible, you know. But the majority of the cats that we see come into Hillsborough County and even any of the county shelters, you know, they are true strays. They're not, you know, but, I mean, we do see them come in with collars on, and we just rescued one not too long ago. She was wearing a collar, and they sent, I believe they sent a card to her owner but never got a response, and they were just going to go ahead and kill her. So we managed to get a rescue to pull her.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, it's crazy that, you know, and that's part of, you know, one of the things in my paper is I suggested longer hold times for the strays, you know, at least 10 days, maybe 15, and, you know, just let them stay until they either find a home or someone comes for them that says, hey, that's my cat, as long as there's space available, you know. And right now they do have space. So there's no reason for the daily killing that we have.
So,
the other thing that I read somewhere that now they're suggesting to reduce that stray hold time to 3 days, which means the death sentence for any cat that's coming in here that's been labeled a stray, that you're going to see those numbers, Anita, go up way beyond 70%. And second of all, Manatee is a no-kill shelter. It doesn't mean that they don't kill any or everything, or necessarily, you know, it's not a complete 100%, but they don't kill for space, which is important here. Also, we believe that, I think even in your paper, Cassandra, you talked about how Hillsborough County Animal Services received a $250,000 grant.
No, there was an advance on their 2014 budget.
Okay.
Yes, I wanted to hear more about that. Number one, how did you find out about that grant, and what do you determine they're spending, they're using that money on?
Well, the grant or the advance on the 2014 budget was announced after the, I want to say, the July BOCC meeting, when there were a lot of issues called on the carpet, and you know, to one of the issues that needed to be addressed was that they need more employees down there to help care for the animals and to help, you know, they needed new veterinarians because they had two vets walk out in the middle of kitten season.
Pause for just a second. Those two vets walked out. One of them was there for 13 years, and they cited hostile working conditions for upper management.
Can you repeat that? You cut that out. Just the last part. What those veterinarians cited was the issue.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but we need to just say that one of those two vets was there for 13 years, very happy about the position in their job and what they're doing and how they can make a difference. And they left after 13 years, from what I understand, citing hostile working conditions from upper management.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, Director Hallett was hired a little over a year ago, and excuse me, things have been, what's the word, rocky, to say the least.
And do you have you seen a marked difference in the amount of animals that are killed since he came on board?
Well, unfortunately, I can't answer that because, you know, I wasn't involved with any of this when, you know, before he started. I've only been involved since March. So, you know, unfortunately, I cannot give you an intelligent answer. But, you know, one of the things that, that he has said at the BOCC meetings is that, you know, the kill rate has actually dropped by, or adoptions have gone up by 14%, I want to say is the number that I heard since he took over. And, you know, if you look online, there was just an article on CBO.com on Sunday, and I want to say that it mentioned that same number, but I, you know, honestly, I don't remember. The last 3 weeks have just been a whirlwind of trying to organize saving cats. So I apologize if any of my numbers are incorrect at this point.
Now, Cassandra, this document, the Truly Be the Way Home, it says it was written on the 28th of August, last month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that document made public?
Absolutely.
Okay, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to post it in the comments section under on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. What I'm going to do is I'm going to post it on my other blog, and then I'm going to put a link on to that blog post on Wise Women Media right under the promo for this show. That way anybody that wants to can take a look at that document, and they can see what's being done at these particular this particular shelter and who's responsible. You can see more information about that grant. And you all have both said that the thing that's needed the most is, you know, for people to step up to the plate and open their homes to foster one or two or more animals, depending on what they can do. What are some of the other needs besides that? If somebody's not in a situation where they can foster animals, what's another way that they could help?
Well, you know, depending on their financial situation, they can always, you know, donate some cash to a rescue of their choice. The rescues are desperately in need of cash donations. They're in need of food donations, litter donations. You know, I mean, even a small bag of cat food or dog food would help, you know, because, again, I know that there are many rescues who do help citizens who are, you know, maybe coming through a little bit of a rough spot. Maybe they just got back to work and they need a little bit of extra cat food to get them by until they get a paycheck, or, you know, cat litter. My God, cat litter is ridiculous, you know, so... any little thing, you know, volunteer at their, you know, I work with another rescue group, and I walk dogs every Sunday. I go to their shelter and I walk dogs for them because they have dogs that are sitting there, you know, waiting to be adopted. And, you know, this particular rescue, Suncoast Animal League in Palm Harbor, I've been working with them for about a year. They actually, you know, take very good care of their dogs. They make sure that they're taken out 3 times a day, every single day. You know, they need help in their cat room with people, you know, to go in and love the kitties and let them out of their cages for a while and clean cat boxes. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that can be done that wouldn't even cost a cent. You know, one of the things that I've been recommending and pleading with my friends to do, make it a family project. Take your kids. Because, you know, that's where the future is going to be in how animals are taken care of and viewed in the future is, you know, by how we teach our kids now, you know, to love them and respect them and appreciate their lives. And, you know, I think if you can, you know, if you're willing to take your kids to these rescues where there are shelters, even to the county facilities. They take volunteers there. I don't know that they take children, per se, but, you know, it's worth looking into. You know, just go and volunteer. Love these animals. That's the biggest thing that they need, aside from out, you know, and to be in a home. These animals need somebody there loving on them. And, you know, it's, I'm not going to lie and say it's easy to do, because you do, you know, get attached to these animals and fall in love with them. And, hey, maybe you'll take one home with you. That's my hope.
Well, and a lot of people, this is another thing that can be done too. You can actually buy a Sunday newspaper, or buy two or three Sunday newspapers. That might cost you $3, $4. Get into those coupons and clip those coupons for dog food, for dog treats, anything that a dog or a cat would need. But especially the cats, because it looks like they're really the ones that are less catered to. Is that maybe the words I'm looking for?
Yeah, the cats definitely suffer the most in all of this, you know, because there are, you know, there are a lot more dog people than there are cat people out there. And, you know, there's, because people aren't spaying and neutering, you know, the feral cats and the stray cats, they just continue to reproduce. And we had a horrendous kitten season this year. And that was, you know, largely responsible, in addition to the fact that, you know, there are the bad policies going on. You know, it was, that was a big part of why, you know, I mean, and again, we need to teach people that spaying and neutering is going to be a huge step in reducing the so-called overpopulation of animals. You know, you got people who say that there just aren't enough homes for all these animals, and I don't agree with that, not by any stretch of the imagination. There aren't enough homes each day to prevent animals from dying, because someone, you know, that might be interested in this cat or dog isn't aware that they're there. You know, it's a big struggle for us to get the word out to different people. You know, I mean, we utilize Facebook a lot for it, and unfortunately that can be as much of a hindrance as it can be a help, because you're only able to reach the people who are on your direct friends list and, you know, hope that they pass the information along.
People that are commenting in our chat room, and a couple of people have mentioned doing some crowdsourcing, actually doing like a GoFundMe link or something like that, to have mm-hmm. people just paid every now and then $5, just, you know, cat food, dog food, gas to go pick up animals if that's needed. And you know, I think that's a really good idea. Karen, I can probably help you set up a GoFundMe page and just crowdsource thing, you know.
And if we have a general fund that can either help people that are calling in and saying, look, you know, I just lost my job, I don't want to take my cat to the pound, can you help me for a little bit to get through this? And so it can be a temporary measure if we have a specific cat. I mean, because one of the things is, you have healthier cats that go into the pound and go into Hillsborough County, and then they come out sick. We have one cat named Orlando, who was an owner surrender, very healthy cat, was very kind of not understanding why he was there. He was really sad, and one of the volunteers had taken pictures and talked to him, and in a series of pictures you can see him completely light up to where he's smiling at the end of this. And when we pulled him out, because no one wanted to adopt him, and he was at the last minute, and the rescue had pulled him out, he was drooling and is actually still being hand-fed almost 2 months later. So that's kind of, you know, sometimes some of the situations that we run into. But if we have some funds that are available to that, then we can do the cat food, do the cat litter, and that sort of thing. And I also wanted to mention real quick is that there's actually quite a few adoption events that are happening that different rescues are putting on this weekend. PetSmart is doing adoptions. I know the ones in Tampa. I'm not sure about the ones in Clearwater, but I think it's going to be regional-wide. It's a three-day pet adoption weekend, cats and dogs, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then there's also one that's going on up in Brooksville on Cortez Boulevard. The address is 18741. That tends to be heavier in the dogs, but we're trying to get more cats up there as well. So there's definitely, you know, funding options, transportation. We have a gentleman that he can't take in any cats as far as fostering goes, but if we really need some sort of financial help, and we've been able to call him in the past, and he's been able to help us to a certain degree. So, but also just making people aware, because as we talked about earlier, there's a lot of folks that just don't realize that Hillsborough County has a high kill shelter. And if there's folks that are out there that want to help facilitate a change and have more legal or process understanding, then maybe to work with some folks and to try and getting some policy changes and working with the Board of County Commissioners to see if we can make this actually an animal services for the community as a positive experience, because there's just a lot of fear that's surrounded by this, and just a lot of just kind of, in some senses, frustration, because we all want to do what's best for the animals, and we need some help in what's determining what's really best for them.
I would say for anybody that wants to help on the legislative end of this, as Karen has spoken about, and really wants to go to these county commissioner meetings, city hall meetings. This is going to have to be done grassroots, folks, and it takes people that are really dedicated to get this done. So I would say contact Karen at Sacred Grounds and see how you can help. The other thing I wanted to mention, there's a little bit of some numbers being thrown around in the chat room by my friend Lisa, who works with Dr. Mango at the All About Amore Cat Hospital in Tampa. We had them on last week for anybody that wants to check the archived show out. But she says, please note there are more cat owners per the U.S. Humane Society statistics, 78.2 million number of owned dogs, 86.4. Number of owned dogs, 86.4 million. Number of owned cats. Wait a minute. I got that number wrong. 78.2 million dogs, 86.4 million cats. So, and those are owned cats. So we're talking, you know, it's pretty close, but no cigar. So there's like an 8 million difference. That's a lot of animals. And for those of you that's out there that say that you love animals, this is a real need here. So I would say if you can clip those, if you don't have money, buy the newspaper on Sunday and clip coupons. Take them down to Sacred
Grounds. And then donate the paper.
Donate the paper so it can be used in litter boxes. Not for kittens and little puppies, but certainly, you know, for cages. There's a million things you could be doing if you can't foster, but even so, these people that live in huge, you know, 2,000 square feet homes, you know, come on, you got room to take in a cat or a puppy or a couple if you don't have any of your own pets. This might end up being your own calling. So I would say let's all get this done and help out and help our community at the same time. I'm so sad when I see these stray animals on the street, and I live in a rural community, and I see some of them. I'm sure some of them are actually being abandoned out here, and they're just running loose, and it's so, it just breaks my heart. And I just wanted to part with that anyway. We're getting down to the last couple minutes of the show. And I just wanted to thank you both for being on the show and for definitely speaking out about the need that you have. And the document, Cassandra, like I said, I'll link up on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. I'll do that tonight. It'll just be a cut and paste, but I'll put it on Who Dude, my other blog, so I can link back to it. And
Wonderful, thank you. And
Karen, if you need help putting that GoFundMe page together, just let me know and I'll help you, because it doesn't take long to do that, but I think that's real necessary. That way, if people do want to fund, they can just whip out their little credit card and give you $5, $10, whatever they can afford. And I think it'd be great to have that in place for you. So, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anita.
And we'll be next week with another Wise Women Media radio show. And I wanted to part with a great song. The first song, of course, was Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cats. This is a beautiful song by Al Stewart called Year of the Cat. So you guys have a great night. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
And don't forget to see us at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com and hit us up on the GoFundMe link. Good night, everyone. Stay tuned for Year of the Cat.
time away a child. Your blood's just ticking, so you have to stay on. But the drumbeat strains of the night remain on the rhythm of the newborn day. Ah, you know sometimes you're bound to lose, but for now you're gonna stay.